Sabbath blessings, everyone. Can you all hear me okay? Yes. Hey, today is January 14th, 2023. If you all can kneel, please do so. We're gonna pray. Please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us with this Holy Sabbath day. Thank you for blessing us each week to have a beautiful Sabbath day. We would like to ask for forgiveness. And please forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And please help us to forgive one another right before the communion. If we have offended anyone before the communion, please reveal it unto us before the communion program starts, that we may repent from offending other brethren and other people, that we may partake with this humility that you have us do. Please bless us with the changing of the showbread, and please help us to understand, and please bridle my tongue and all the tongue that may speak on your behalf today, that you and all the Godhead family will be glorified. Thank you, Father, for your precious truths. Thank you for your long suffering and mercy. With the help of the Holy Spirit, and in Jesus Christ, our King, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. The 12 p.m. study for today is the continuation of part 3. This is the calling sin by its name. We're going to start with, we're going to talk about the probation on the churches in these last days. It's now close due to its failure to call sin by its name. It is because the love of money had triumphed over them and despised the law of God. Churches having 501c3s make it more difficult for them to preach or to call sin by its name and fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah 4 verse 1 churches, which fulfilled the Isaiah 4:1 church's prophecies in these last days. Even the Ninth Hour SDA Church, who is called in the SOP Capernaum, had failed miserably by not calling sin by its name. But cherishing sin by its name. The mind of Christ is not in her forehead any longer. And she has now the horse forehead. The law of God is not in her forehead anymore. It says in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Jeremiah 3, verse 3 says, therefore the showers have been withholding, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a hoarse forehead. Thou refused to be ashamed. Most of us know and learn from the spirit of prophecy and the word of God that forehead is where the judgment and decisions are made. So she will have no excuse for despising the law of God. And an evidence of the horse forehead is in the SDA church now, by having Sunday-keeping churches and pagan holidays being embraced by their members. She, the SDA, was commissioned by God at the Ninth Hour to warn the people to share the first, second, and third angel's message. But now the message that she should have been proclaiming is now being disobeyed by her. The Ninth Hour Church has changed the SOP writings, which proves her apostate status. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20, Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20 says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to it, to this word, it is because there is no light in them." For editing the spirit of prophecy, she is not speaking the light anymore, as there is no light in her. Because it says in that verse the word testimony. So when we define the word testimony by using the word of God, Revelation chapter 19 verse 10, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." I'm just quote that phrase there. So when a leader or a pastor prophesying by using exact dates, this is the sign of a false prophet. Because prophesying using exact dates have already been ended after the 2300 days of prophecy of Daniel. So when a church has the horse forehead and all its members embrace the abominable practices that the Lord hates, they commit spiritual adultery and spiritual fornication against Jesus, the bridegroom. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 27, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 27 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. But what happens, brothers and sisters, when a church keep another day as her Sabbath, or do lunar Sabbaths? The church that do such things play as a harlot, for she despised the real Sabbath, which is the token of allegiance unto God, unto the Godhead family." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 to 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 to 17, it says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, said he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." All who proclaim to be followers of Christ must be diligently obey the commands of our Creator, as we are all members of the body of Christ. But if one says, we keep Sunday holy because Jesus is our Sabbath, now you are joined unto the harlot, because you are keeping a different day as your Sabbath. You are committing spiritual adultery against Christ. So you are now, your church that you are in, who keeps Sunday, play as the harlot. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 8, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." When we keep the 7-day Sabbath, we made that final decision to glorify our King, Jesus Christ, and His Father and the Holy Spirit, to keep the Sabbath day and the rest of the commandments. We don't keep it because we don't keep it to be saved, but we are keeping it because the Lord is helping us to keep it, and because we are saved. We are commanded by the Lord not to partake on any abominable holidays like Halloween, Xmas, Easter, Lent, Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, etc., all of which are now being embraced by the Ninth Hour Church. And doing such things give glory to their other gods or Satan in different names. So remember the time when Elijah challenged the false prophets of Baal. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 19. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 19. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, with which is a Jezebel's table. Brothers and sisters, the false prophets of today are eating and drinking at Jezebel's table. The celebration of pagan holidays and listening to false doctrines being preached at the pulpit. So what are we commanded by God in dealing with such things? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the tables of devils. It's very clear in this verse, brothers and sisters. We are keeping the Sabbath day holy today unto our Lord, unto the Lord our God. Now we are partaking the Lord's table today. But if one goes tomorrow, after today, if anyone's listening right now, for example, goes to Sabbath keeping church today and goes tomorrow to keep Sunday holy, they will now be partaking the Lord's table today and the table of devils tomorrow if they keep Sunday holy tomorrow. Because today is the Sabbath, not tomorrow. So, yeah, just like one example, when someone keeps the real Sabbath but then also goes to Sunday to keep it holy, this is drinking and eating on two different tables. A church can also be called a city, which consists of many people in it. It describes in Revelation chapter 1 verse 2, the obedient people in the city. Revelation chapter 21 verse 2 says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Brethren and sisters, we all would like want to be inside this New Jerusalem, this new city. But what happened for the disobedient church or city? People will be lacking spiritual understanding and discernment when God's law is despised. The Lord would withdraw the shower of blessings due to her disobedience. Ezekiel chapter 14 verse 13. Ezekiel chapter 14 verse 13, it says, "Son of man, when the land sinned against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of bread thereof, will send a famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it." Hold on a second. Sorry, I apologize. I'm back. Okay, continuing about the Ezekiel chapter 14 verse 13. "Son of man, when the land sinned against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it." So when we look at this verse, brothers and sisters, strong concordance, when we look at the word, when the Lord says he will break the staff of bread, or in strong concordance, it's called support of life, support of bread. So H4294, and it says it can also be a rod for chastising or correction. So the Lord is only doing this to correct a church or to correct such individuals so they can see their errors and repent and return to the Lord their God. But if they're not going to repent, it will not be pleasant unto them. So when the staff of bread or support of life is corrupt from a disobedient church, the church members will have difficulty understanding scriptures because the gift of understanding or wisdom will be corrupt by the Lord. So the Holy Spirit will not supply the wisdom to any disobedient church. Brothers and sisters, as we all know, bread and prophecy is the Word of God or Jesus Christ our Lord. It says from John chapter 1 verse 1, and also he's also the living bread, which is also described in John chapter 6 verse 51. So to further discuss the meaning of the staff of bread, Leviticus chapter 26 verse 26, Leviticus chapter 26 verse 26, it says, "And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied." So when we look at this verse, brothers and sisters, it says here, the bread in prophecy is the Word of God. 10 women, so this woman in prophecy is the church. And when we read this, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, deliver your bread by weight. So, if you see what's happening, already happened, there are so many translations of the Bible, so many translations, so many denominations. The Bible has been translated into so many different translations. They even have Queen James. They even have Queen James Bible. So they can justify the effeminism or homosexuality. So when the Bible is translated into different languages, the incorrectly translation of the bread is already defiled. So to deliver by weight, so the defiled bread prophecy, where so many translations of the Bible are being used today, no matter how much they read it, they couldn't understand. They cannot understand what it means, because the Lord cut off the understanding and wisdom from those who are going to be reading those. And plus, they are already defiled, so it will be a lot less understanding to gain from it. It's already edited. So think for example, when we make our unleavened bread for the communion, we put olive oil, water, and salt. So brothers and sisters, when we look at the symbols, the communion bread, olive oil, water, and salt, is that a coincidence? I mean, we know the symbol of the oil is the Holy Spirit, and if the Lord is the living water and salt, when Jesus Christ our King commanded us, have salt in yourselves. And we don't want the salt to lose its savor. So, unleavened means not defiled or not corrupted. When the bread is defiled or mistranslated, the Bibles that are mistranslated are now considered leavened, because they have now learning a lot of people are now learning a lot of false doctrines in it, because it's edited. So it's also says in a strong concordance by weight, numerically estimated, or hence weighing the act or full weight. Let me. Because they deliver the bread by weight, or by their own standard, and not obey the standard of the Lord, the bread or the Word of God will not be understood without the oil or the Holy Spirit, without the supply from the Holy Spirit. Oil represents the Holy Spirit, and when bread is eaten or read without oil as one of the main ingredients, the reader will understand and they will not be satisfied with what they eat. As reading in the Bible, eating is reading in prophecy. with also, as we mentioned earlier, about Isaiah 4, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, "And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take our reproach." When Christians want to be called Christians, but they want to study the Bible the way they want to read it, but only they be called Christians to take away the shame. Well, what is the difference of the SDA from other churches before her? She having the lamps. She having the lamps or knowledge of the Scripture, but without her disobedience to the law of God, she would not obtain the oil or the Holy Spirit. So without having the oil and without understanding what would happen to the members of the church that are not obedient to the law of God. Jeremiah chapter 44 verse 22. Jeremiah chapter 24 verse 22. "So that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings, and because of the abomination which ye have committed. Therefore your land is a desolation and an astonishment and a curse, without an inhabitant as at this day." So the stay in the ship theology will not save any members from sinking it deeply. Individuals are not saved by a church name, but by their own obedience to the law of God and faith in Jesus Christ. Members will be guilty of corporate sin if they do not obey the Lord calling, "Come out of her, my people." There are still some sincere individuals in different churches that the Lord is calling out, but they have to come out that they may not be partakers of the corporate sin of the churches they are in right now. Ezekiel chapter 14 verse 14. Ezekiel chapter 14 verse 14 says, "Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Jacob, were in it, they should deliver their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God." So these three men did not partake of the sins that were done in their land, in their time, during their time. So we are in the 11th hour church. We are trying our best not to partake of the sins that are being done in the different churches. With the help of Christ, anything is possible to overcome. So what happens if you're part of the SDR church and you are concealing sin? There's a sin that you conceal and keep practicing this iniquity. Do you think you're going to make it home just because you're part of the SDR church? No. As it says in verse 14, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it. So imagine there's like some people in the SDR church are not obeying the law of God the way they should. It doesn't matter if you're in here. If you're not obedient to His law, you're not going to be saved by the name SDR. It's but by your own obedience and unto righteousness, unto God, keeping His law. So let's keep stand firm, keep obedience unto the law of God until the end. What happened for the ministers who do not feed the flock properly? They will answer to God themselves. And if the members of the church just believe whatever they hear, whatever their pastors say, "Oh, my pastor says this, or my pastor says that, that it's okay to wear pants. I'm a woman, it's okay to wear pants. My pastor says that. Or it's okay to eat unclean meats. It's okay to eat pork. My pastor says it's okay to eat pork, or it's okay to eat shrimp." No, it's not what the pastor says, but what the Bible says. So lacking the foundation, lacking the strong foundation Because Jesus is the strong foundation. Jesus is the rock, the foundation of the house. Jesus is the rock, the great I am, the foundation. The pastor is not the foundation. Jesus is the foundation. And what happens when things don't get well? These people that don't study their Bibles, they blame God when things get really tough in their life. Oh, why are you doing this? Why did you do this to me? God is not doing that. You did that upon yourself. When we decide to do something that is wrong, that we already know is wrong, we're going to reap the consequences of our actions. So let us receive the chastisement of the Lord and receive his correction and not blame him. So what happened to those people that are relying to their pastor so much and not studying the word? They don't have that strong relationship in Christ. They fall astray or become atheists attacking Christianity. So they'll be wandering around in the wilderness. It says Ezekiel chapter 34 verse 5. Ezekiel chapter 34 verse 5 and 6. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every hill, every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. So the ninth hour church and the rest of the church before her, they are now spiritually desolate and doesn't have spiritual eyesight or discernment. And the prophecy of Amos 8:11 is now being fulfilled, or will be more fulfilled in the coming days. Amos chapter 8 verse 11 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 6, "My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." So the ninth hour church is now being angry with the 11th hour church, for they also will receive a penny or eternal life. A penny or eternal life. She now murmured against the Lord or the good men of the house that she proclaimed after she has failed to call sin by its name. There are still honest members who are still inside of the ninth hour church. So we're going to talk about Matthew chapter 20 verse 9 through 15. Matthew chapter 20 verse 9 through 15. "And when they came that they were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny." Eternal life. "And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house." Jesus, our King, Lord Jesus being the good man of the house. "Saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. And thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good?" So the Lord, our King, did not even have to give us a penny, each and every one of us, but because He loved us and gave His life for us. He died in the He died on that Calvary, so we may gain this penny. The Lord had laborers from different hours in His vineyard, those who were used by the Lord for the Reformation, will receive their one penny for eternal life when Jesus comes in His second coming. Each different hours of the church, they have done their duty. Martin Luther, John Wesley, Sister White, and those different prophets in different times, Prophet Daniel and so on, they have done their duty during the hour. And when the Lord used them to call sin by its name, to bring people into the truth, to take them out from sin, what is the vineyard that they labored on? Isaiah chapter 5 verse 7. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the man of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold the cry. So we are in the Lord's vineyard, brothers and sisters. Let us be ready and study. Keep our feet wet into the scripture, and the Lord will help us and remind us of the things that we study to share His truth to others who are still in the process of seeking the truth. Psalm chapter 147 verse 2. Psalm 147 verse 2. The Lord built up Jerusalem. In these last days, the Lord hired the 11 hour workers to walk in the spirit of Elijah, to call sin by its name, and become the repairer of the bridge. We were once living in the flesh, and we are bought with a price. Our bodies are not our own. And if we obey the Lord until the end, He will grant us this one penny, our eternal life. I hope and pray that we are all blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. There will be one music, and the next voice you shall hear will be of Brother Lawrence. God bless and have Sabbath.